Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kelly, your host, as happy as I can be back here for a Monday. Thanks so much being with us. We'd love it when you join us, and there's nothing we'd rather do than be here on a Monday. I'm so happy to be back, and we got a great Monday for you. We got a wonderful guest this hour to talk about feminism, actually, and what perhaps is wrong with feminism. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We just got through with a week of brilliant women, and it turns out even that, a full week of brilliant women, didn't solve the world's problems. We continue to get through all kinds of media, especially as happens every year at the end of January, a lot of distorted images of womanhood, of motherhood, of what it is to be a human being, of when human life begins, and all those things. And so we are just delighted to welcome for a conversation about feminism, Kimberly Cook. She is the author of Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love, as well as she's the host of the popular podcast The Dignity of Women. Her marriage workbook on the virtues earned her the Catholic Writers Guild Seal of Approval, and her workbook for single women has been used internationally. Kimberly Cook also holds an MA in systematic theology and runs KimberlyCook.me, which challenges modern feminism. She lives in Virginia with her husband and children. Kimberly, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
I feel like there's a few things we can get into that automatically will be offensive to some people. And there's the general sense in large parts of our society that feminism, the more radical, the better, is an unmitigated good. It's just obviously a good thing to many, many people. So why should I think of it as not a good thing?
Right. Yeah, I think that that is the challenge. And the thing that I tackle first in my book is, what is feminism? Because I think that is the thing that confuses so many people. There is no set way to define feminism. Some people will say that they're a pro-life feminist. You know, they'll try to argue from these different perspectives. I'm a feminist, but there is not really like a, as we say, we're Catholic, and that means X, Y, and Z, and we have a teaching authority. There is no set teaching authority for feminism, for that movement. And so you get people saying all different things. Yes, I believe I'm a feminist. If you ask somebody, what does that mean to you? Well, it means women should get equal pay, or they should be able to vote, or they should be able to do this, or they should be able to have any rights to their body and to the children inside of their body. It goes all the way on and on and on, to the point of even, you know, sometimes infanticide or other radical things. So the question, really, the root of this is, what is feminism, first of all? And as I say in my book, there is no set definition of feminism. And so that is the first problem with feminism.
Let me give out the number.
No, go ahead.
888-318-7884 is the number. Challenging questions are welcome. Maybe you're a young woman who's not sure why you should challenge what you have heard as the precepts of feminism. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Perhaps you identify yourself as a radical feminist and you'd like to call. Anyone is welcome. 888-318-7884. I'm sorry I stepped on you. Kimberly, go ahead.
Absolutely. No, so I think just to get back to that, the first troubling thing about feminism is there really is no way to define it or no category to put it into. And I've had so many women tell me they're feminist. And then when I ask and dive deeper into that, the answers are either unable to really define it or they're all over the board. And even what a lot of feminists will tell me is that the term feminism is fluid. So that's troubling in and of itself, is that it's a fluid term. And so what I point out is, I look at in my book how feminism, you know, the early women's rights activists of the 19th century in this country, I look at what their foundation was. And then a lot of times people will say in the turn of the century, at the 20th century, feminism was, in a sense, hijacked. And then that, of course, led into the sexual revolution in the 60s and 70s. And then that's kind of when feminism took a turn for the worst.
Right.
But what I argue in my book is it was long before that, as soon as feminism really was what it was bearing, you know, planting these seeds that were not going to be something that, you know, needed to be hijacked or anything else like that.
I see. I see. So at its roots, there's a problem.
Yes.
Okay. So what's the essential problem? Like for, given the Catholic understanding of what a human person is about, why God made us male and female and all of that, the mission that he's given us, what at root would you say that's the central problem with feminism?
Right. So if we look at modern feminism, because this is where we are now, this is where it has brought us, this is what it has led to through all its changing seasons. And so what we have now is something that very much accepts the idea of abortion and a woman's right to choose to do whatever she wishes with her body, that the unborn child, of course, is not a person. And as well, that it there is no definition of male and female or femininity and masculinity. This is something that is also fluid. And it's more in what you feel you are rather than anything to do with biology. And as a lot of the leading feminists, Simone de Beauvoir, to name one specifically, has really introduced into feminism is the fact that we're not born men or women. We're not born female or masculine or any, there's no such thing as any virtues that are attached to those two concepts. They are just a social construct that is cast upon us when based on our biology. So if you're born a girl, we give you pink dresses and dolls and vice versa for a boy. And that's what makes us have this concept of femininity and masculinity, but it's all just a farce. And so I think that that seemed radical when she came out with that in her book, The Second Sex. But after, you know, you did go through the 60s and 70s and the sexual revolution and on to see these different Miss Magazine and Cosmo and how it kind of became normalized into American society and American culture, you came to the point where we are now where people don't even bat an eye at the thought that there is nothing innate about being a man or a woman. It could be a mistake. You know, you could have just accidentally ended up in the wrong body.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. Men, women, anybody, welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you are in agreement with our guest, Kimberly Cook, this hour, that there are serious problems with feminism, you're welcome to call. But if you're in a place of disagreement, you're welcome to call as well. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH, if you prefer the spelled version. So, Kimberly, there's always this criticism that always seems to be just lurking at the back of any criticism of feminism. Anybody who will make a criticism of feminism, the response always just almost seems to be waiting to pounce on them. So you want to go back to the way things were in the 1950s. You want to go back to the way things. How do you handle that response? I'm sure you must get it because you're challenging feminism. So what's the response to it?
Yes, feminism is definitely seen as something nowadays that's a no-brainer. To say that you are not a feminist is basically saying, like you said, that you are not for progress, that you want to go back to embracing some of these laws that were unjust towards women. You know, there I do focus in my book on how women were not considered citizens at first with equal rights. Obviously, they couldn't vote, they couldn't own property, they did not have any rights to their own children in the case of a separation or things like that. So there were definitely reasons that women needed to be activists for themselves in the 19th century to have these rights that were fair because they are human beings and they are citizens of the United States of America, which doesn't believe in taxation without representation. So there are reasons, good reasons, for women to have this mission towards making sure that they have rights. But what happened is we've transmutated that into something where women don't only just want to have fair and equal rights as American citizens and to be understood in their humanity, but now we've transmuted it into something much deeper. And yeah, that is something, it's really gone off the rails in a very bad direction. And so that's what I'm looking at. And when I get that feedback, I try to point that out to people. First of all, in the 19th century, most of the women who would now be considered feminists, although that term wasn't used back then, were across the board pro-life. So that's the number one distinction that I think with modern feminism is a problem. Modern feminism, almost unexceptionably, it embraces pro-choice. It embraces a yeah. woman's right to choose. And that goes on, not just in, you know, the first month of pregnancy or the second month of pregnancy, but now we're all the way out to the 9th month of pregnancy. And so we see how this slow deterioration has taken place. And so I think that's the number one thing, is to point out how going back, that's not what we're trying to do, is to go back. But what we're trying to do is to look at this. What were the earliest women's rights activists fighting for? And that had nothing to do with what feminism is today.
888-318-7884. A bunch of folks on the line for our guest, Kimberly Cook. She's the author of Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. You are welcome to call as well, 888-318-7884. Before we go to the break, we've got the 20 Answers Challenge again this year for Lent, and they've changed it up a little bit. Lent, we're just 2 weeks away now, I guess. Join hundreds of Catholics just like yourself and take the 20 Answers Lenten Challenge. Read 20 books in 40 days. And they put a bunch of books on sale to help you do it. By the way, we have some really short books. If this seems like a burdensome, we got some short books that'll help fill in, all right? Challenge yourself today. Build your faith and the faith of friends and family. Visit shop.catholic.com and order the 20 Answers Lenten Challenge Pack. That's shop.catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Don't forget to check out the latest episode of our podcast, Catholic Answers Focus. You can listen each week to the world's premier podcast on Catholic apologetics at CatholicAnswersFocus.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Catholic Answers Focus, now available at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
I like it. I like that we're not doing the ramp up, you know, start out with a few kind of, you know, mid-level guests and then work up to the good guests later. We're just starting the week off with the good guests. I'm not saying that we usually have bad guests on Monday, but we usually have bad guests on Monday. The number is 888-31. We don't really. I'm sorry. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Kimberly Cook. Among the many things she does is a podcast, a very popular podcast called The Dignity of Women, which we will we highly recommend to you. And she is the author of a book called Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. And she and her husband live with their kids in Virginia. The number, as I said, is 888-318-7884. We're actually talking about what's wrong with feminism. And I do not think I don't know if you feel this way, Kimberly, but there's things that it's okay to debate and things that it's not okay to debate. And I call the things that it's not okay to debate things that Twitter wouldn't like you for. And I don't think Twitter would like you very much for the things you're saying.
Do
you?
No.
You have that experience?
Yes. Yeah, I feel like I'm in a very unlovable topic here.
Exactly.
So
exactly. But that's the problem with our society is some things are just like, well, no, you can't question feminism. That makes you a bad person. You know, you can't mm-hmm. question the new gender ideology. But God bless you for doing it. There's a bunch of folks on the line with you. You want to talk to them?
Sure.
I'm so glad you said yes. Like, what if you had said, no, I don't feel like talking to anybody on the phone. All right. Let's start with Dan in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on AM 690. Dan, your question for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
Hi, Kimberly. First of all, you're in a very lovable position. I am a man. And I consider myself a feminist in that I think women are amazing. And I think it's horrible how many women are killed before they're even born. My question kind of goes to what you were initially talking about. When you're speaking with someone about feminism and then they bring up the fact that gender is supposedly fluid, how do they respond when you then ask them, well, how can you even be a feminist if femininity is not a set thing? What are you in favor of, a feminist?
Great.
What kind
Kimberly?
Of things do you get?
Yeah, I think that is why so many of these debates go in circles. You know, they kind of go round and round, because as you ask these questions for people to expand a little bit more on their position, a lot of times it just kind of goes back to that, well, it's just fluid, you know, it's changes and you can't set it. And I'm like, that's my argument, that there is no set principle to this concept or to this movement. And so with the idea, like you said, that you consider yourself a feminist and you're for women in the womb who are not yet born, well, that kind of takes you out of the embrace of most modern feminists who would argue that you're actually not a feminist, because that, to them, the idea of women having the right of abortion trumps any other rights of what they would consider a not yet human in the womb. So that person is discounted and we can't really even talk about that. And even if there was full scientific proof, which there is, that that is a human person, still that person, their rights are definitely under the rights of the woman whose body that sometimes even considered by feminists a parasite is in, you know, so the host body has the rights to make a decision. And so I think that right there in what you said would be very troubling, calling yourself a feminist and saying in the same sentence that you're for unborn women in the womb. Those are not compatible with modern feminism.
Dan, thanks. A whole bunch of folks on the line. Our guest is Kimberly Cook, 888-318-7884. We're talking about what's wrong with feminism. By the way, if you think there's nothing wrong with feminism, you're welcome to call. And we will be, well, I can't speak for Kimberly, but I'll try to be nice to you. She might be mean. I don't know. 888-318-7884, the number. I do feel like I'd like to just push you on one thing, Kimberly, which is, well, what's the alternative to this radical feminism that you think works? Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I mean, for me, I think Catholicism works, obviously. And in my book, I tell the journey when I myself embraced radical feminism before I came to the church. I loved the fact that feminism seemed to have this unified voice that echoed throughout history, all of these, the laments of angry women who had been subject to injustice. And it was injustice when we look back at the 19th century and before, and obviously even after, there's always going to be injustice. But when we look back at that, and I was very into literature, so when I looked back at some of these laments of these women that had brought out these problems that were being put on women in society, that really made me angry. And it made me want to be part of that unified voice to change that. But obviously, that wasn't the answer. And when I found Catholicism, I realized that Catholicism's view of women is so much greater than anything that could be said by feminists about women. I mean, there is no greater understanding of women than it as taught by the Catholic Church. And especially John Paul II, for me, was a big turning point. Reading Mulieris Dignitatum, why I named my podcast The Dignity of Women. For me, I thought, wow, everything that I've ever read, everything I've ever been angry about, everything that I've ever wanted could not be said better.
Wow.
By this Pope. So.
Wow. What a that's impressive. But I have to say, one of his things that he pushes is this idea that we're made to be donated to each other, that men and women are made to be donated to each other. We're made to be given to our children. And I don't think that's a very, popular message in the modern world. I don't think people want to be given away.
No. I mean, it's the antithesis of selfishness. And in our culture, selfishness definitely is what's dominant. And that's what I talk about as well. When I was embracing radical feminism, my idea was against motherhood. I really had a disdain for motherhood because I believed that as long as you had something to offer to society, like brains, an opportunity for education, a work ethic, you should use that and give that to society. So mine went, as with many radical feminists, to an extreme. And motherhood was the enemy because it was something that was going to stop your momentum in this world. And it was going to stop what you could give to this world. So what you're talking about with the self-donation, it's believing, hey, I have something really great that needs to be given to the world. And I can't have anything get in the way of my momentum, like children and family and all of that kind of stuff. I need to, you know, that's something I can do on the side when I'm in my late 30s or early 40s, is just have that one or two kids and then get back to work. That was kind of the idea of that. And so you see that that's continued and it's gotten worse as we progress, quote unquote, in society.
Kimberly Cook, our guest. I'm going to go to Tracy in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio, EWTN channel 130. Tracy, go ahead with your question or comment for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
Hi, Kimberly. I guess the comment and questions that I have, I think, you know, like I was telling the woman that, you know, basically screened the call before, I think, you know, the women's movement and women's rights has changed so much in the last, in the 50s when it originated, and, you know, when women was given more rights. But I think it needed to evolve to make sure that people, it needed to evolve with time. But I think what happened was, you know, now you have women getting trying to get jobs in the military. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd consider myself a modern day. I don't know what kind of feminist I'd call myself. You just said to the previous caller that if you believe in this and you believe in that, then you're really not a feminist. But I mean, I think our bodies are made differently. You know, there are certain things that women can do and better than men and vice versa. But I think if a woman is applying for a job, whether it's the CEO of a company, they should definitely be paid the same, you know.
Tracy, it does seem like maybe your concern, I want to see if I'm getting this right, but it does seem that your concern is that our guest, Kimberly Cook, is being too hard on feminism and you'd like to hear her elucidate some of the positives of feminism. Am I in the ballpark, Tracy?
Yes.
All right. Yes. I want to give Kimberly the chance to do that. Go ahead, Kimberly.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, Tracy, I think what you're talking about is really just justice, which that is justice. If a woman or a man who have the same capacity to fill a position like a CEO, as you said, can both do the job, obviously the pay should be equal, the benefits, all of that kind of things should be on par with each other. And that's something that even, like I said, in the 19th century, Susan B. Anthony and Elizabeth Cady Stanton saw that, and women weren't even really entering the workforce at that point in time, but they were already talking about the need for that justice and to have that equality in areas such as that, which obviously was to them almost a pipe dream, but is very much a reality now.
Tracy, thanks so much for the call. You can probably hear the music, and I have to take a break right now. Our guest is Kimberly Cook. She's the author of Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. You can find her podcast on the internets. It's called The Dignity of Women. Our number, 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic? Let's talk about it on Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Typical man, I keep cutting off our guest, Kimberly Cook. So, yes, I'm sorry. If you need me to mansplain anything, I'm happy to do that. Our number is 888-318-7884. And cut you off with the music. Last time, you were in the midst of answering Tracy from Pennsylvania, who felt that you might not be highlighting the goods of feminism as much as those things that are negative about it.
Right. Yeah. And so what I wanted to explain and what I tried to do a good job at explaining further in my book is just how feminism was coined and really started as a movement. And what I mean by that is adopting philosophies to go with the movement and adopting a certain type of activism that would go with the movement in the 20th century, so in the turn of the century. And so before that, when we look at the 19th century and before, it's debatable. Some people will call Susan B. Anthony a feminist. Some will say that she was not, and you know, it can go on and on, but there was no coined term. There was no philosophical movement. There was no path to activism at that time. So I think what we have to look at is originally, and even before that, when you look at Mary Wollstonecraft and others, Abigail Adams, precursors even to the 19th century, were there things worth fighting for that women, their dignity was not being preserved or recognized in the social sphere. Absolutely. And even John Paul II talked about that in his letter to women in Mulieris Dignitatum and countless other addresses. There is always a reason to advocate for justice for all people. And that is something that a lot of great women have done well. In order to be a good woman who advocates for justice among women and men or among whoever, you do not need to be a feminist. You do not need to associate yourself with a movement that started with very harmful ideologies that were radically against life in the womb and family life and marriage and a lot of the harmful ideologies that feminism has been woven with were very intentional at that time. And so that is what I am trying to explain is feminism. There was an intent in the philosophy of feminism in the beginning. And if you want to say that you are a feminist who has pro-life values, you have to use that caveat and say, I'm a pro-life feminist. Yeah. You can't just say I'm a feminist.
888-318-7884. The first person I remember using that was the now I can't remember her name, but she played the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond, and she's awesome. Now, do you know who I'm talking about? I'll think of her.
Yes, I knew who you were talking about.
Oh, she's good. She still tweets out amazing pro-life stuff. Anonymous, you're next. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Kimberly Clark. Kimberly Cook.
Hi, Kimberly. I love that you live in Virginia. My wife and I were actually married in Virginia when I was stationed there with the Air Force.
Oh, wonderful.
So my question is, I grew up Catholic, and my wife is a cradle Catholic. She comes from a real strong Catholic background, but we both fell away from the faith for a while and kind of went into a real, like, I would almost call hyper-liberal viewpoint. Then I recently converted back about, I guess, about a year ago. And since then, now I am now looked at as I'm not open-minded. I'm not accepting anymore. And I'm real closed-minded. I've become one of those quote unquote Catholics. And I pray for my wife often, but she's very much feminist, and as well as all of her sisters. One identifies as gender fluid, like we talked about. And so my question is, how can I guess, just be, what can I say when my views are questioned?
There you go. Fair
right.
enough.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very challenging place to be. And I think it happens to a lot of us, especially when we go through some sort of conversion or reversion sometime after we've maybe gotten into marriage or something like that. And the other person doesn't always come along or at the same pace. And so I think that you're probably speaking to a pretty wide audience when you pose that question. And so I think that the words that she's using, like not being open-minded or those are very divisive terms that are often used to, again, as we said earlier, make you sound like you want to go back to the dark ages, to be a caveman, and to place you in this disarming position where it seems like you are against progress and you are against women doing well for themselves or women having equal rights and dignity. That's basically how it paints you when you use these divisive terms. And obviously, it's going to be different. It's going to look different in marriage because you are in a covenantal relationship. And the good thing about that is there's so much sacramental grace that will be applied across the board with that and with your conversations that can't be said the same for you and speaking of a stranger. So I think the thing is definitely just to continue to recognize truth and educate yourself on the truth and to be loving because that love is what's going to win people over, not the fight. And I think if she's open to it, to challenge her, say, you know, I want you to read this book and I'd be willing to read a book that you have or something, or listen to a talk and do that exchange of books or exchange of talks. And then I want us to talk about it, you know, together. And so I think, and especially my book might be a good one to challenge her, because it does talk about what feminism is, and it does look at the goods that have come from strong women, again, in the past fighting for justice and equality in the workforce and in society, equal voting rights and things like that. But then it talks about feminism and where that is very different from what we're talking about. So I think that maybe some of those conversations could be the best. The prayer is the best. And also in this year of Saint Joseph, I mean, you're the father of the family, and that there's immense blessings and graces for you to stand under that umbrella of Saint Joseph this year.
And honest, I hope that that is helpful to you. The name of Kimberly's book is Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Our number is 888-318-7884. If you would like to talk with Kimberly Cook, our guest, you're welcome to call. The Dignity of Women is her podcast. I got to say thanks to Facebook, because about a billion people on Facebook just yelled at me. Patricia Heaton, of course, that's the name of Feminists for Life is the organization she's associated with. Mm-hmm. And she was the mom on Everybody Loves Raymond. And I got to hear her speak in L.A. one time, and I was like, oh, OK, I get it. Feminists for Life. I see how that works. 888-318-7884, our number. Maria in Yuma, Arizona, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. You're next. Go ahead with your question for Kimberly Cook.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. And, you know, I almost hang up because you pretty much said what I wanted to mention, but I do have a question. Talking with my friend yesterday afternoon, as a matter of fact, we were talking about her being frustrated because she had to stay home. She has a toddler and a four-year-old, so she gets frustrated. And recently, she got a part-time job, and talking to her, she says that she feels productive because she's doing this little part-time job. And I told her that I was sad because of what she said, because she does a lot with her children. And being a mom and being at home, taking care of home, those are big accomplishments that are losing value because society, the media tells otherwise. Says that in order for a woman to be successful, you have to go out and have a good paid position, and family is being losing value in women's eyes. So she kind of got it, and she agreed. She ended up agreeing with me about she's seeing it differently. But her whole life, she felt like she was going to be accomplished when she gets a really good job. And now my question is, how do we go out and let women know that? Because seriously, it feels like we don't know better. And it's hard. You can't get it from the TV.
Or let's let Kimberly answer, because it's a great question. How do we get this message out? And how would you kind of nuance the message? What is it that you'd like to say, Kimberly, to women?
Right. Yeah, I think that there are twofold answers in this packed question. But the first one is, yes, motherhood is very undervalued in our society and continues to be undervalued. And I think that one of the ways that a lot of mothers could agree with me on that is if somebody asks you, what do? And if you ever say, I'm a stay-at-home mom, simply, you know, and leave it at that, you will inevitably get the question, but what do you do? Or like, what else? I mean, I know you're a mom, but you have to do something. Like, you have to contribute something. And I know that a lot of moms have gotten beat up by this from random strangers, as have I. And there's just this general idea that's so pervasive in our society that being a mother and raising the next generation who will change the world and who will shape us, you know, when we're older, these are the people that are going to be presidents and senators and lawyers and priests and politicians and doctors. And so there's this disconnect with the fact that these women are staying home and, you know, giving these children all of their formation and virtue, but that is not enough. What are you actually doing? Because if you're not, if you don't have a title or an occupation, it's not enough. So I think women have kind of been bullied into feeling like they are not enough, first of all, for staying home with their children and raising their children, and that that is not something that you can kind of put on your resume and feel good about yourself on your deathbed that you've accomplished. And so I think that's something that we radically need to change. And I think, again, the Catholic Church needs to continue what she's already always done well, which is teach that that is not the truth, and look to Mary and look to these female saints, especially. We've put a lot more of a highlight on mothers and wives, saints. And the other thing is that I think that how can we do that? One thing is, I love, on the other hand, when people come up to me and say, you're doing a great job. You know, if I'm there with all of my children, they'll say at a restaurant or something, instead of saying, you know, they're, I don't want to sit next to all these noisy kids, but instead saying, wow, what a beautiful family. You're doing a great job. You know, I just love seeing families like yours. You can be that person to say that thing and just make that mom feel a little bit better, or like maybe she's doing a good job. We talk so much during the coronavirus about spreading joy, but I think that's something that we need to take to heart too when it comes to a vocation like motherhood that's being so under fire. And then the other part of it is her not feeling an outlet or accomplished. And I think to speak to women on the other hand, there are a lot of moms who feel in some way unhappy, like I'm doing all this and pouring all this and it's a thankless job. And I think that those women also, we need to think about how we're being fed spiritually, you know, making sure that we're taking time for ourselves to be spiritually fed, because I think it is something that you can burn out from quickly. And that also isn't a good testimony to the rest of the world of what motherhood is. So for me, you know, writing is an outlet for me. It's something that I am passionate about doing. It's like getting up and running in the morning for some people. It's that thing that I need to keep me sane and to keep me feeling connected with my own passions and things that I like to do. And so I think that also that's okay for women to understand, like, hey, you like to paint, you like to do this, you like to do that, or whatever, to not lose that connectedness and to not lose that passion that we have, so that you do feel like this is all that I do, which is a great thing.
Amen.
But sometimes, yeah, you need to nurture those other parts of you as well, I think.
Maria, thanks. You asked the question I think probably almost everybody wanted to ask, and appreciate that. 888-318-7884, our number. We have to take a quick break. Our guest is Kimberly Cook. Her book is called Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. You can also find her at her podcast, The Dignity of Women. Lent begins, as I said before, in 2 weeks. We'd love to give you a free ebook, 20 Answers Lent. It's a special edition ebook from our acclaimed 20 Answers series. Begin Lent by knowing all the facts. You will have all the facts about Lent at your disposal. Just go to shop.catholic.com and click on the free ebook banner, and you'll get 20 Answers Lent free in the ebook form.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
I used to wonder if God really cared, why it mattered what church I went to, or why I even bothered with faith at all. Then I started praying more often and going to church. What happened? My relationships got stronger, and I felt a peace that I never had before. I realized that God in my life was the difference between occasionally being happy and finding lasting joy. If you're looking for something more, check out CatholicsComeHome.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Second hour, we're going to talk about a topic that is actually quite dear to my heart, and about reforming Catholic schools, about getting the very best out of Catholic schools. Dr. Jared Stout will be our guest this hour. Kimberly Cook, our guest, Motherhood Redeemed, How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love, is her book, and her podcast is called The Dignity of Women. Lots of folks on the line and not a lot of time, Kimberly, so I'm just going to keep going to the phones, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's go to Rose in New Mexico. Hi, Rose.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm an older woman. Thank you. I'm an older woman, and although I'm not a writer or anything like that, I teach small children. I'm in the process of making some guitars for them from recycled material. So
wow.
I'm not, you know, totally at a loss here. But what I think Kimberly is saying, I agree with her wholeheartedly. I think we do need to rejoice more as our place, you know, as a in our womanhood in Christ. You know, he defined to us what we love, and I found that to be true. You know, if he's saying that, you know, we need to be more subservient maybe to our partner, a male partner, well, it's our joy to watch our husband do well. So that's one of the things. You know, another thing is that when we talk about responsibility as a mother, you know, why would we want to be working and just giving our children half of us? You know, this is our role. We're mothers. It's what we love.
Rose, I want to get Kimberly to respond to that, and we'll come back to you. Kimberly, did you want to respond to what Rose had to say?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rose. And I appreciate that. And yes, I think that one of the things that I talk about in the book is St. Paul talking about husbands and wives being subject to one another as the church is to Christ. And I think that that is something that a lot of people across the board, feminists and not feminists, struggle with, that Ephesians verse. And so John Paul II also spoke a lot about the co-subjectivity of husband and wife and how they are, as we said earlier, meant to give themselves wholly to one another in every aspect of their lives. And I think, again, that's something that we even lose in marriage. We want this to be ours, this section of our lives, this section over here, or this is my thing or that thing. And we don't want it to be co-subjective anymore. We don't want to share all things, our spiritual, our emotional, our physical, all parts of ourselves. And we are co-subject to each other when we enter in marriage.
Rose, what do you think?
Your question. I think that's true. And I wanted to ask you another question, is that, you know, history has shown us that, you know, we were squelched. As women, we were squelched. We were not allowed to vote. We were not allowed to, you know, we didn't have certain rights. And, you know, that we did have to, I feel we did have to have a voice in that, because being a mother means, you know, you have to know how to do certain things. You know, I've learned as a teacher that I have to, you know, I can't say whatever I want, you know.
So, Rose, just because we're coming to the end, go ahead with you said you had another question for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
So just that and balancing, I think it's balancing with what we have now. A lot of women are in the workforce and they're having to go mano a mano, so to speak, with men in order to survive. So I think all of this has evolved into a dynamic where, you know, women are kind of confused about their role and what do we want and what is feminism?
Amen, sister. What do you say, Kimberly?
Absolutely, yeah. I think that there is a lot of confusion. I think that is where we are now, and that's kind of what we're trying to sort out. And as Rose said, I mean, Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony in the 19th century were fighting for these rights, like the right to vote, as we said. And the reason was primarily because they were thinking about the women who were mothers and the fact that they weren't even allowed to make rules and laws and to amend anything in the social sphere that would affect their children. So they actually came at women and approached that from this perspective of being a mother and how important it was to have a voice in the social sphere because you are a mother.
Wait, so you're in favor of women voting, Kimberly? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
It was just a clarifying question. That's all. Rose, I hope you call again. Thanks so much for that. Leslie's next from Northeast Texas. Northeast Texas, that's like the size of a country. But somewhere in Northeast Texas is Leslie listening on Guadalupe Radio, KATH 910 AM. Leslie, go ahead with your question for our guest, Kimberly Cook.
Okay, it's quick. She's beautiful. This is awesome. But I'd like to get her comment on, now that we're having to change the way that we describe ourselves as she, he, I'm a female, I'm a male, I think it's very dangerous for, ultimately, it's going to be very dangerous for all humanity, and certainly for women and certainly for men. And I just wanted her comments on it.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things, again, one of the key phrases that you'll hear when you ask someone what is a feminist, they will say equal rights for women. If you just put it in a one sentence, very simple, the problem, there's two huge problems in that one small, tiny little sentence. The first one is equal rights. What is a right? Because, of course, we have to talk about the right to abortion as part of the modern feminist platform, and that would be tied up with rights. And then the second one is for women. What is a woman anymore? So that is a problem in our society, which maybe we thought we'd never be talking about. What is a woman? But ultimately, we have to define that, because with the gender fluidity and modern feminism, a woman means nothing biologically anymore. It means what you feel. If you identify as being a woman, or sometimes as being a woman, or potentially being a woman, any of those things or all of those things could be defining you as a woman. So when we say equal rights for women, who are we even talking about anymore?
Leslie, does that make sense to you?
Awesome. She's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm doing pretty good too, though, don't you think? As we've thrown out compliments. But I have to say, and Leslie, I don't know if you're still there, but we don't have to go along with it. We don't have to go along with being bossed around by people who say you have to call, you know, everybody by, you know, all these new innovative things, and you can't use male and female anymore. We could just refuse to go along with it, couldn't we?
Mm-hmm. Do it.
Wait, I missed it. Sorry. Go ahead, Leslie.
I said, let's refuse.
Yeah.
Because it just, there's too many reasons to go into on a short call. But yeah, her answer is just one of the right on ways of saying that. It's,
yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I think so too. Thanks, Leslie. Somewhere in Northeast Texas, our guest is Kimberly Cook. She has a book out just in November called Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. You can also find her at her podcast, The Dignity of Women. When you say how radical feminism betrayed maternal love, Kimberly, you say that as a person who's experienced both. You've had the radical feminist mindset, and now you're in a more maternal mindset.
Correct. Yes, absolutely.
And so if you can make the journey, I guess is what I'm getting at. People can be called back from the madness, from the crazy fringe.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I will say it is difficult, but of course, obviously, God's grace and mercy are unending and cover a multitude.
Well, I have to agree with several of our callers. I think you're just a fantastic guest. I hope you would consider coming on again if we were to ask you. Would you do that, or has this been horrible?
I would love to.
All right. We got that on tape, so she's got to come back. Kimberly Cook has been our guest. Motherhood Redeemed: How Radical Feminism Betrayed Maternal Love. Check out her podcast, The Dignity of Women. And coming up next, Dr. Jared Stout is going to be here, and we're going to talk about renewing Catholic education. I don't know if you've noticed this. We have some problems in Catholic education. We also have enormous gifts there, how to foster one and weed out the other, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.